Thank you very much. Rav Kook, the Chaim LeBracha, has an essay where he recommends that when we want to develop ideas in Hashkofe, rather than base them on Agadatis and the Gemara, Agadatis we really don't have a tradition how to interpret, so I can interpret it one way, you can interpret the opposite way. Rather than base it on Psukim and Tanakh, also a little risky because you can give different interpretations and then give them Pasuk. But Rav Kook recommends we should really base all in Yoni Hashkofe and halachas, because halachas, we have the Shulchan Aruch tells us what to be them. So one of the big Rosh Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael once made a comment to me that even though Rav Kook wrote such an essay, he himself usually did not do that. And the one who did it much more than Rav Kook was Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik, we all remember, used to give those, all the people, used to give a Yahrzeit Rosha that was 4 hours long, so the first 2 hours would be halacha and the second 2 hours would be drush, hashkofe. And hashkofe was always based on halacha. So I was requested to mention some of those halachas that he would develop and show the hashkofe from the halacha. So one very famous din, you have Mishnayos in Gittin and Mishnayos in Ksutas and Mishnah in Erechin, that sometimes, not always, sometimes the Bezdin has the right and the obligation to pressure a husband to give a get. They beat him up. Makanos, Akofanos, Hachiyama, Rotsami. So the Gemara raises a question, but the get has to be given midaito out of his own free will. You even need more, you need a higher level of midaito by a get than by Kiddushin, because a get is considered more serious. So the Gemara gives an answer that since the Chachamim, every person really wants to do what the Chachamim tell him. So the Rambam quotes this Gemara in the end of Perek Sheni in Hilchas Gerushin. And it's a famous Rambam, all the Darshanim quote the Rambam, that when a person says, I don't want to give the get, that's not really his true self. That's a pseudo-personality. That's not his real self. If the Bezin beats him up and then he says, Roitzani, I want, now he's telling the truth. His true self, deep down, inside in his heart, every Jew wants to follow what it says in the Torah. So Rav Soloveitchik always used to speak about the concept that appears in the Tanya. He often quoted the Tanya. As a child, he was brought up in a Lubavitcher village, and he had a Malamed who taught him Tanya, in addition to Gemara. So the Balatanya has an expression, every Jew has Abba Hamasuteras, hidden love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, deep in his heart. And Rav Soloveitchik explained that the Rambam writes in Hilchas Tshuva, Kvar Yivticha HaTorah, the Torah promises, Shesofrim Shal Yisrael Asas Tshuva, ultimately the entire Jewish nation will do Tshuva, because we have a principle, Ein Yisrael Negolim Ela B'Tshuva, that's a Machlekes HaTanoim, will the gula take place only if the Jews do tshuva, even if they don't do tshuva? So we assume only if they do tshuva. And even though the gula depends on the Jews doing tshuva, the Torah promises us that there will be a gula hasidah. So the question begs itself, how can the Torah promise that certainly will be a gula hasidah, but everybody has b'chira chavshis? Maybe we'll choose not to do tshuva. How can the Torah promise everybody has b'chira chavshis? So Echik said, no, since every Jew has Abraham Suteris, it's like just a mashal amad davidim, a person stands on his head. How long can you stand on your head with this mishul and shtick? You're going to fall down after a while. Normally, you stand on their feet. You can't stand on your head for 2 days straight. You're going to collapse. So the Jewish people, when we do our there, this is all shtick. It's not normal for us. Normal for a Jewish person. The Jewish people have an Abraham Suteris to attack HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So ultimately, all the Jewish people will do tshuva. So they used to discuss, where does this come from? Where does this Abraham Suteris come from? So he used to say, his lashon was that every darshan has his own favorite Mamori Chazal. And he has his own. So he liked very much the passage in the Gemara that the Tanya begins with, that the Malach teaches the baby Kolat Arakula. We assume a baby boy, baby girl, all the Jewish baby. Malach teaches the baby Kolat Arakula before he's born. And then the Malach makes him forget. So why does the Malach teach him in the first place? Why did he engage in this act of futility? If he knows that he's going to make him forget everything, so what does he waste his time to teach him? So you must assume that something does remain, even though the Malach makes him forget all the dinim, but something does remain. So what remains is this Abraham Suteris towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why should that be so? Well, what is the Abraham Suteris for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why does that depend on learning the Torah? So Rav Soloveitchik elaborated upon that with another section of halacha. This, he used to say this at different occasions. This one, Avraham Soloveitchik passed away, the Rav developed, delivered a whole hesped, which was really outstanding. So the he quoted the Minchas Chinuch his Bavik with Akasha. We have a small list of Averas where the punishment is Misa B'dei Shamayim. One of them is Oibral Divrei Navi. Navi instructs me what I have to do. Navi tells me I have to smoke a cigarette now. Even if he tells me on Shabbos I have to smoke a cigarette, you have to listen to the Navi. And whoever doesn't listen to the Navi, Anochi Edresh Meimo, the punishment is Misa B'dei Shamayim. So the Minchas Chinuch has bothered with Akasha. Whoever talks Loshon Hara, whoever oversleeps and didn't say Kriya Shema B'zman, Moshe Rabbeinu was also a Navi. So whoever violates any din in the Torah is Chai Misa B'dei Shamayim. So why is it such a short list of people who are punished with Misa B'dei Shamayim? Whoever violates any of the Taryag Mitzvah should be Chai Misa B'dei Shamayim. So traditionally, different terutzim were given on this Kasha. The Ragat Shava has others give terutzim. And many years ago, Rav Soloveitchik, before he came to New York, when his father was still alive, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was still alive, and the Rav had a little kibbutz, he had a, they called it a kibbutz, of Talmid HaChachamim, 10, 15 young men. He was single boys who was learning with them in Boston. So he said this teretz then, it was printed then in his name. And now, that this is the standard teretz. What Rav Soloveitchik said at that time, this is the standard teretz. And teretz is, Oibal Divrei Navi, is only if someone tells you, the Navi tells me something as a hayra shor, that's a definition of nevuah. He tells me, Baruch Shalom wants me to smoke a cigarette, he wants me to invest all of my money in AT&T, or whatever, something like that. But Moshe Rabbeinu sometimes said, hayra shor, but Moshe Rabbeinu said, no one should leave over the month till tomorrow morning. Whoever would leave over the month would be chai misa b'dei shamayim. Moshe Rabbeinu said, everyone should knock on the next door neighbor's doors on Erev Pesach and ask for matanas before they leave Eretz Mitzrayim. So whoever will decide that that's a priest in Sakab and he doesn't want to do it, will taka b'chai misa b'dei shamayim. But many of the, most of the things that Moshe Rabbeinu told B'nai Yisrael are dinim that are binding l'doiris. So that's not called Oibral Divrei Navi because Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi. Adarabba, because it's Divrei Torah, by definition, it's not called Divrei Navi. The laws of the Torah, by definition, mean that it's not a Hayra Asha. The laws of the Torah binding a mitzvah, Rashi writes in his commentary at the beginning of Parshat Sav, Ein Lashon Sav, Ein Lashon Zivas, Miyada L'Doris. The Rambam only includes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs mitzvahs that are binding throughout all the future generations. And the Rambam writes, one of the 13 Yikorei Ramuna is, Shezos HaTorah Lo Sihim Uchlefes. The laws of the Torah always apply throughout all the future generations. So, and in his Hesped for Avel Bala, on other occasions, Rav Soloveitchik would explain why such an obstinate insistence that the laws of the Torah cannot change, that even another Navi cannot come and say that the Rebbe Shalom changed his mind. So he said he has in his published essays, as well, several of the published essays he has, that both the Bala Tanya and Rav Chaim Volozhin write the same explanation. Ruba de Ruba, they always say the same thing. They always say, not Ruba de Ruba, they always say the same thing. They just quote different sources to bring out the same ideas. Both say the same thing, that the laws of the Torah are obligations, that the laws, the do's and don'ts, there are 248 mitzvahs aseh, 365 mitzvahs loisei aseh. But in addition to being laws, if you take the whole Torah, bichlalusa, the whole thing is a picture of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Navi tells us, Malachi tells us, Ani Hashem lo shanisi, v'atem v'niyakim lo chilisim. The essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu never changes. So that's why the laws of the Torah cannot change. The Torah is a description of Elokus. The world keeps on changing, so the application of the laws, sometimes instead of Sif Aleph, the whole world is changing. Maybe you have to apply Sif Beis or Sif Yud, because the world is changing. But in essence, the principles of the Torah never change. So this is why Rav Soloveitchik thought this is the reason why when the Malach teaches the baby Kol HaTorah Kuli, even though the baby forgets everything, what he remains with is an Abba HaMasuteris towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the Torah is a description of Elokus. Rashi on Parshas Mishpatim quotes that it's referred to as the Moshel HaKadmoni. The Torah is called the Moshel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a photograph, the Chafetz Chaim writes, like a photograph of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So because we have this engraved on our hearts, so that's why there's such a thing as Abba HaMasuteris towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Soloveitchik has a very beautiful essay where he speaks about humility and limud haTorah. So there are some people who are very learned and they're very arrogant. Rav Soloveitchik writes, how can that be? How is that possible? If you have discovered something new in Torah that no one else ever heard of, it means that you came closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Soloveitchik, when he gave the shiur, those who were zeicher to be in the shiur, he was very chutzpahdik, very arrogant. He would keep on pushing forward. What's pshat in the Torah? Doesn't make sense. The Rambam doesn't make sense. And then he would keep on with chutzpah and pushing, pushing. And then when he came to the pshat, he would step back. And then he would be humble. If the Rebbe Shalom gave us the Torah, we should ask all the kashas and we should try to figure out what the pshat is. And he gave us the capabilities. He gave us the Torah that he told us we have enough sales to figure it out. After you've discovered the truth, it means you have come closer, you have discovered some aspect of Elokus that you never knew before. So when a person is in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he fades into insignificance. Well, what is there to be arrogant about? That's Rav Soloveitchik has a whole essay about that, but it doesn't make sense. Anyone who really believes that the Torah is a description of Elokus, if he's a Dam Chochmah, he cannot be an arrogant person. In connection with this as well, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out a whole Yahrzeit Rasha on this topic, that the Gemara in Megillah distinguishes, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, the Gemara distinguishes between Tashmishei Mitzvah and Tashmishei Kedusha, that if you have an old shofar and it broke and you can't use it anymore, you have an old talus, you have a sukkah and you don't want to use it anymore, you have an esrog alulim and sukkah is over, what are you going to do with it? So the Gemara says you throw it in the garbage, you don't have to put it in the shemes. But if you have an old pair of tefillin, you have an old ritzuis, or you have an old tefillin zekel, you have an old sefer Torah, so that's called tashmishi kedusha, so that nignosim, you have to put it away. Even though it's so worn down, you can't even correct it, it's not shy to fix it, nonetheless, you're not permitted to throw it in the garbage. I meant to have a sefer Torah, you're not allowed to throw it in the garbage, even though it has no psukim on it, that's the status of tashmishi kedusha. So how do you determine, how did the Tanaim decide which religious article should be labeled as Tashmishei Mitzvah and which as Tashmishei Kedusha? So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, Rav Chaim Volozhin writes in Nefesh HaChaim that the klal depends on if you have psukim written. The Kedusha of the Sefer Torah Tefillah Mezuzah, the Aseres HaDibros, this is all based on the fact that you have psukim written. And even if you have an Aron Kodesh with no psukim written, but that's Tashmishei Kedusha. The Gufei Kedusha is the Sefer Torah, and the Aron Kodesh, or the mental, or the tefillin zekel, this is Tashmishi Kedusha. The makor of all of Kedusha is psukim from Tanakh, because the psukim are a description of Elokus, and Kedusha means it's something that's close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So since the Torah is a mashal HaKadmoy, the Torah is a description of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's why all things that have to do with psukim in Tanakh have a level of Kedusha. So Leitchik pointed out there is a Rambam in the very end of Hilchas Sefer Torah where the Rambam writes that if we were to find the Luchas now, every couple of years there's someone that says he knows where the Luchas are, if he were to find the Luchas, the Luchas were engraved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he engraved Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and we have a Sefer Torah that was written by a human being, Nishnas Tov She'inayim Ches, which would have more Kedusha? So the Rambam writes Beferish, the Sefer Torah that was written by the Basar Adam has more Kedusha. Why? Because it has more Psukim? We assume that Tefillin have more Kedusha than Mezuzah, because the Mezuzah only has Shema V'Yom Shema, the Tefillin has more Kadesh V'Yoki V'Yachar. The Shorosh has slightly more Kedusha than the Shalyad because it has the Shins on the outside of the bottom. And the Sefer Torah has more Kedusha than the Tefillin because it has the four Parshias plus more. So the Rambam writes, the same is true regarding the Luchas. The Luchas are priceless, and we'll find the Luchas, it's priceless, it's so valuable, but the Sefer Torah has a price, okay? But as far as the level of Kedusha, so the Sefer Torah has more Kedusha, because the Sefer Torah has more Parshias, and the source of all Kedusha is that it's close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Divrei Torah, when you write Divrei Torah. So that's a description of Elokus, that's why the definition of Davish Kedusha, Tashmish Kedusha, is things that have a psukim from Tanakh written. So remember, in this Yahrzeit Rasha, so the Rabbah is explaining that all in Yoni Kedusha are based on Psukim from Tanakh. So he said, Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha. Why is that so? Every Jewish person has Kedusha. Why is it Kedusha in Yisrael? Because the Malach taught us Kol HaTorah Kula before we were born. So that's the source of the Kedusha in Yisrael. Then we say, Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha. So why does Eretz Yisrael have Kedusha? Well, you have Psukim engraved on the trees. So he said, no, the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael the first time around was the kibush. So I remember he screamed out in the middle of the Shia in Yiddish, who did the kibush? And Eretz Yisrael, everybody said the Jewish army. He said, no, the Aron HaBris. The Aron HaBris was Hoylech Lefnei. The Aron HaBris had the Luchas in it. So the Mekadosh Eretz the first time around was the Kisvei HaKadosh, the Torah Shebichzav. And then he said, the Rambam in Hilchos Tefilo writes that there's a concept of Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. So we assume that Beis HaKnesses is a Mikdash Miyad. So the Rambam is very much mashma that if you have, let's say, some people have in their offices, they have one room that's designated for davening mincha, but they have no sefer Torah there. So if it's a tiny seat when you want to daven mincha, you're lame, so they won't have a minyan because they don't have a sefer Torah. And the Rambam is mashma that if you have a Beis HaKnesses, but that is sefer Torah, it doesn't have a Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. Because the root, the source of the Kedushas Beis HaKnesses has to be that you have a sefer Torah there. He said the source of the Kedushas Beis HaMikdash is also that you have the Orem with the Luchas there. In the Bais Sheni, there was no, the Orem was Nignas at the end of the Bais Rishon period, there was no Orem then. So the Rambam writes, the Gemara in Yuma has a Machloikas HaTanoim, a historical Machloikas. Where was the Orem during the period of the Bais Sheni? So one opinion is that it was in Babel, other opinions, and one opinion is that it was there in the basement, just like the end of the Bais Rishon period. Yoshiyahu HaMelech was going as the Orem with the Luchas, that's what it says in Divrei HaYamim. So the whole Tkufas Bais Sheni, also the Orem was there. So the Rambam takes a stand on a historical machloket. The Rambam takes a stand in the Mishnah Torah. So Soloveitchik said, isn't that strange? The Rambam takes a stand on a historical machloket. Maybe in Mor Nevuchim, write about history. What is he writing in the Mishnah Torah? It's only for halachas. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that apparently the Rambam thinks that there's a little machlokes in halacha here too. It's a historical machlokes. Where was the Orem of the Luchas during the whole period of the Bais Sheni? But there's an element of halacha involved too. And the Rambam passes like the Tana that there cannot be any kedushas Beis HaMikdash without an Orem. The source of all of the kedusha has to be that you have the Ritur there, you have to have a Sefer Torah there. But then the question was the Bais Sheni. So the after the Churban Bais Rishon, so Eretz Yisrael lost its Kedushas, and when Ezra and Nehemiah brought the Jewish people back, so they were Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael the second time, so there was no Kibush with the Aron HaBris. So what was the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael the second time? Rav Soloveitchik suggested if you should insist that all the source of all Kedushas should be Divrei Torah, because Divrei Torah from Tanakh represent the Elokus, so he thought maybe the fact that Kimu the Kiblu, the Nes Purim occurred a year or two, right before they rebuilt, completed the building on the second Beis HaMikdash, and before they were Kayvish, before they weren't Kayvish Eretz Yisrael, before they moved back to Eretz Yisrael, to Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael the second time, that he thought that maybe the Kabbalah of the Torah Shebal Peh, Kibla the Kibla, the Medrash in Medrash Tanchum and Parshas Noach says that the new Kabbalah Satorah was really on the Torah Shebal Peh. So he thought maybe it was the Kabbalah's Torah Shebal Peh that gave the Koyach to be Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael the second time. And then he continued to suggest maybe that is the reason why the Kedusha Rishon of Eretz Yisrael was Batla, because it was only based on Torah Shebichsav, as opposed to the Kedusha Shniyah of Eretz Yisrael, which was based on Torah Shebal Peh. And maybe, and he gave a whole explanation why there should be a difference, maybe that's the reason why the Kedusha Shniyah was like Batla. That was a long story. We have a halacha that we learn out from Parshas Chayisora. Sorry, Menon passed away. And either Avraham Avinu knew the din is, the Pasuk in Chumash says that if one is Chayiv Mises Bezin, the Chayiv Mishpat Mishpat Mavis Behumah, so the person is put to death by the Bezin because he deserves the punishment. Skila Sveif Erek Henik. So the Torah has a mitzvah, Kavatim Berele Bayomahu. So the Gemara seems to have a machlekes hatanoim. Is there a mitzvah of Kvura Min HaTorah by a normal person dies a natural death? He wasn't put to death by the Bezin. So we know that the kvura of Haruge Bezin has special halachas. The Mishnah says there were two batei kvuras. There was one Beis HaKvuras for Niskalim and Nisrofim, and one for Naharogim and Achnokim. The Gemara says it shouldn't really be sufficient with two. You should really have four, because you're not permitted to bury Tzadik Eitz or Rosh, you're not permitted to bury Rosh HaChomer Eitz or Rosh HaKal. So how can you bury together Niskalim and Nisrofim? How can you bury together Naharogim and Achnokim? So the Gemara says it's halacha. It sounds like a halacha l'moshe m'sina, that's the din. And then the Gemara says, Eben sheniskal bo, nesudah shenechlik bo, you have to bury with the mace, tov dal anamis, and the tfusas hameis. So it's clear for the Gemara that it's a different din of kfura. It's not the regular din of kfura by a normal person who dies a natural death. It's a special, with special details. So it's a machlokes hatanoim, whether the mitzvah of kvura deraisa only applies to haruge bezdin, and by shar meisim it's only midirabbanan, or it's a din min haTorah by all the meisim, but here it has added details to it. By haruge bezdin it has added details. So the Gemara asks, if you should assume that the mitzvah of kvura min haTorah only applies to haruge bezdin, so why did Avraham Avinu insist that he wants to bury Sarah Imenu? If there isn't, she died a natural death. The din midirabbanan was already instituted in the days of Avraham Avinu. So the Gemara says, no, that apparently was the minig in the days of Avraham Avinu. Whatever is the minig, you mechuyev to do mishum kavod ha'meis. Kavod ha'meis requires whatever is assumed to be the kavod ha'meis. So in Europe for years, the Chevra Kaddishi used to wash the hair with raw eggs. Now they don't do it anymore. Now it's not considered kavod. Whatever used to be considered kavod, that's what you mechuyev to do mishum kavod ha'meis. So the Gemara says, for whatever reason, Avraham Avinu felt compelled to bury Sarah Imenu, either he wanted to fulfill the real mitzvah for the Raisa, or he wanted to do Mishum Kavan Ameis, because that was Mekubal, was manah to do Kfura. So the Pasuk says that the Nochrim who lived there in Kiryat Arba offered to Avraham Avinu, the Silikim Atobus Avenu, the Mibcha Kvarenu Kvaras Meisecha will give you the right to bury your wife in the most Mekubalik location. So Avraham Avinu says, no, he has to bury his wife separately. So what is that all about? So Rav Soloveitchik explained, we assume that the Jewish people live differently, we die differently, but bury differently. Everything is different. And in fact, Avraham Avinu says on that occasion, the line, Geva Toshav Anochi Imochem, Rashi quotes from the Medrash, it's not a contradiction. If he's a Geva, it's not a Toshav. It's a Toshav, it's not a Geva. Geva means a stranger who's out of place here. And a Toshav means a citizen who's kavu over here. So Rav Soloveitchik has a famous essay at Drosha that he said over on different occasions, the Jewish people are both Ger and Tosha. We have a lot of things in common with the Umasoil, and we work together with them and to try to cure all the sicknesses in the world, to try to solve the problem of poverty and everything, all the social problems and everything. But in a certain sense, the Jew is a Ger. We have totally different interests. Everything is very different. So we live differently, we die differently, we're buried differently, you have to have a separate base for everything has to be different. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say over from the Darshanim in Europe, it wasn't his, he said it over the name of Rav Reines and others, that when we say Havdolah Mitzoy Shabbos, we say Hamav the Mikar Shlachol Ben Olachosh, when you saw Amen, but Yom Hashmi Lashesh, Semeh Hamas. There are different Havdolahs. So one Havdolah is Havdalah ben Ol Choshech, all the human beings recognize that, all the behemoths recognize it, and even the flowers recognize it. In the daytime they give off oxygen, at nighttime they give off carbon dioxide. So it's a difference, even the plants realize there's a difference between Or and Choshech. But then Hamav de Mikodesh L'chol, how can you tell the difference between Kodesh L'chol? It's a Havdalah she'en any keres. Sometimes you have Havdalah any keres, and sometimes Havdalah she'en any keres. So the question was raised, the Havdalah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make between the Jewish people and Yom HaSoilam, is that expected to be a Havdalah HaNikeres? Has to be noticeable right away. You see a Jew walking in the street, you can identify him as a Jew. Or not necessarily. So the Rav Soloveitchik said over from the Darshanim that there's a Medrash that says, how come the Luchas Rishonis were broken and the Luchas Shniyah survived? So the Medrash said, because the Luchas Rishonis were given with such fanfare, such publicity, so shalta behem mein hara. The Luchos Shniyos were given, Moshe Rabbeinu came down with Sina, no big tumult. So there was no ein hara at that time. So that's why the shalta behem mein hara, so the Luchos Shniyos were not broken. So the Rebbe Shlom should have realized this in advance. So why did he give the Luchos Rishonis with great fanfare? He should have realized it's going to be broken because of the ein hara. So the Darshanim said, say from different Rabban, Darshanim said, because the Rebbe Shlom wants the Havdalah of the Jewish people to be a Havdalah and he cares. Rav Soloveitchik said he used to travel by plane. He used to commute from Boston to New York every week. In the early years, he used to go by train, and then later he went by plane. So he said that, I think he said 4 weeks in a row, he sat next to the same person on the plane. And the first 3 weeks, he was talking about the weather and politics and all kinds of different things. He didn't realize the person was Jewish. Till the fourth week, he found that the person is Jewish, and he learns Daf Yomi every day. He said, I didn't even know the person was Jewish. He said, in Europe, there was a Havdalah HaNikeres. You look at the face of a Jew, you can tell he was Jewish. He had a bayis, he had a beard, he had a Malbushim of a Jew, he had Arba Kamfis, he could tell a person is a Jew. And he says, it's supposed to be a Haidolah Hanakaris. It's supposed to be when you look at a Jew, you can tell right away that this person is totally different. He said in the name of his grandfather, Achaim Soloveitchik, there are long bridges and short bridges. There's no bridge long enough to bridge the gap between Israel and Am Yisrael. It's such a gap, it's such a havdalah, it's impossible to bridge the gap. Totally different. We say on Arami Avinovi, in Mikra Bikrim Ahisham, the Goy Melamit Shoy Yisrael Mitzu Yonam Shom. The Jews always stand out. They're supposed to be a havdalah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris. We read yesterday, Pirkei Avos, Chaviv Avim Shenivri B'Tzelem, Chaviv Nisol Shenivri B'Banim Lamakim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris with all of mankind. Everybody has to be like him, but he made a special bris with Bnei Yisrael. We have Banim Lamakim. So that bris that he made specially with the Jewish people is mechayev us to lead a life of Havdalah. You have to lead a life totally different. Everything has to be by Havdalah. Rav Soloveitchik said over that I think after Mechayev Sheshet Hayamim, the family of Rothschild wanted to move his body to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And De Gaulle, I think, was the president at that time. So he was very upset. And he gave the Musar, Hayitochin. What do you mean? The man was born in France, he was educated in France, he made all of his money in France, he died in France, and you're going to bury him somewhere else. You people are not loyal to your country. Everything took place in France. But the Jews have an attachment to Eretz Yisrael. Because we know that we're totally different. We have to have a separate Beis HaKvaros. Everything has to be different. So this was all based on the Pasuk in Chumash. You need a Kever Yisrael. And Avraham Avinu says he cannot bury Sarah in the regular Beis HaKvaros. Because it's a totally different style of living. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out in the beginning of Parshas Vayera, that HaKadosh Baruch appears to Avraham Avinu. And then all of a sudden he sees Shlosh Anashim Yitzav Malav. He didn't realize that they were angels. He thought they were human beings. So there's an inyan of Achnasa Zorachim. So he was mafsik in the middle of the Kabbalah's Bnei Ashkina in order to invite the Orchim to come in. So the Gemara derives from this parasha, Gedolah Achnasa Zorachim Yosem HaKabbalah's Bnei Ashkina. So Rav Soloveitchik said, what then do we learn out from this? Gedolah Achnasa Zorachim Yosem HaKabbalah's Bnei Ashkina. So he said, we have it all the time. We have a din. When one is reciting Kriya Shema, in the middle of Kriya Shema, somebody walks into shul and is going to feel offended if I'm not going to greet him, good morning, good Shabbos, or whatever. Today, the Mishnah Berurah says, everybody knows you're in the middle of davening, so you can't be mafsik. But apparently, years ago, it wasn't the days of the Tanoim. People didn't realize that. As I state in the Mishnah, so the Mishnah says, you're permitted to be mafsik sometimes with Ne'akovit, sometimes with Ne'ayira. Depends if you're Ben Parsha, the Parsha, Ben Aprokam, or Ben Tzaper, different deal. So what do you see from this? You're reciting Kriya Shema, you're reciting Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim, and still, Kovet Abrius is sometimes more important than Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. But in the middle of Shemon Esri, we're not Mapsik. The Gemara has the Drasha, Tosef points out, the Gemara in Yuman, Daf Yutes, has a Drasha, V'dibarta Bam, V'loy V'tfilo. So what does that mean, V'dibarta Bam, V'loy V'tfilo? So the Posh Pshat, V'dibarta Bam, you should recite Kriya Shema, Shivtacha B'Veisecho. So Tosis quotes the Talmud Yerushalmi, but the Barta Bar means you have to talk in the middle of Kriya Shema. You have to be mafsik in the middle of Kriya Shema. Mafsik in the middle of Kriya Shema, what does that mean? It means Mepnei HaKovet, Mepnei HaYira. If there's an inyan of Kovet HaBriyas, you have to be mafsik in the middle. So then the Gemara has a drasha with the Barta Bar, Loi B'Tfilo, but in the middle of Shema Esri, you're not allowed to be mafsik. So how come? If Kovet HaBriyas is so important that every person was created with Tzelem of the Kings, you have to be mechabit every human being. So why not be mechabit even in the middle of the Shemana Esrei? So that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say from big Chassidish Tzadikim. They said every person should have a vest that has two pockets on the right side, on the left side. One pocket he should hold the pasuk Ma'anesh Kisizkerenu Ben Adam Kisizkerenu, and the other pocket he should hold the pasuk V'Hatachasrei Mi'at Melakim V'Chaber Bahadat Yatrei. That they're both correct. That human beings are on a very high madrega, higher even perhaps than Malachim, about the Chasrem, the Yat Melekim. And on the other hand, we should realize, Mo'anesh Kisizkerenu, and it's Taka Tarte Disastri. So sometimes we, in the middle of Kriya Shema, we have an obligation to be Mapsik and play Kovet HaBriyas, because of Kovet HaOdom. And the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, we emphasize the other pasuk, Ma'anesh Kisis Kirenu. Rav Soloveitchik used to talk a lot about this Tarte Desasri, that we have a lot of times Tarte Desasri. When we recite a bracha, Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Tshuvas HaRashba, that every bracha starts, Baruch Atah Hashem, he's speaking Malosha Noyach. So if the Baruch Shalom is right in front of me, and I say Baruch Atah Hashem, then you always end off the bracha, Malosha Nistar, Shakon Nehiyah Bidvaro. You don't say Shakon Nehiyah Bidvarecha. Amotzi Lecha Min Ha'aretz. It's only say Shehotzeisa Lecha Min Ha'aretz. Why does every bracha begin Malosha Noyach and end off Malosha Nistar? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to us sometimes as if he's very close to us, and sometimes if he's very far away from us. That's when in Kabbalah, the Loshen is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is both Memalik Olalman and Sefer Kalam. Memalik Olalman means it's very close. Sefer Kalam means that he's very far away. So they're both correct. We live with the type that is Hasri. We have a lot of times. Rav Soloveitchik used to explain a lot of times in the Shiurim. Sometimes you can have type that is Hasri, something that's both Karka and Metalfalit at the same time. And sometimes a person is both a Yisrael and a Nochri at the same time. I think that he must have picked this up, this idea. There was a Professor Schreiber, Zichron Lebracha, who was a super genius, passed away a few years ago, so he published a little book, really a sefer. It's a lot about Rav Soloveitchik's Hashkofe. So he shows that this idea appears a lot in the Avnei Nezer, more than 10 times in Shubas, that you have sometimes a Kli that's 50% of the material is cheres and 50% of the material is mateches. So how do you treat it? So he explains, Avnei Nezik, he has a tosefta in maseches kelim. So he treated it as a type that is asri. So where does that leave you? So kli cheres, I'm a kabel tumah me'aviro. If you dangle the sheretz inside, even if it's not touching, it's mekabel tumah me'aviro. And the Klecheres doesn't have Tarim and Mikveh, but the Kli Matefes has a Chometz Mekabel Tum Leibim from the outside. So the Avnei Nezer discusses this. How do you deal? More than one place, more than 10 places. He discusses this concept that every so often you have a Tarte Desasri in Halacha. So this was one of the standard ideas that Rav Soloveitchik would bring up very often, that here there's also a Tarte Desasri. Mo'enesh Kisis Gevenu. On the one hand, the man is very insignificant. On the other hand, Chasre Miad Ve'alakim. So we do both. In the middle of Kriya Shema, we emphasize the Gadlus HaAdam, and we have to be mafsik. The Dibarta bumps and mitzvah to be mafsik when they cover Abriyas, like Avraham Avinu was mafsik, Kabbalah's Pnei Ashkina, to be Mekabal Pnei HaOrchim. He thought they were human beings, he thought there's an Indian of Tzelem HaKim here. In the middle of Shema Esri, we are not mafsik like that. We place significance on all human beings. We have a din, this is one of Rav Soloveitchik's favorite halachas that he would speak about and that he would explain the hashkafa behind it. There is a machlekes in the Tanoim where the mace nochri is mutami ba'ohel. A mace is mutami b'maga, if you touch the mace, or the masa, even if you're wearing gloves, you're not touching the mace, but you're pushing the mace and carrying the mace, then it's mutami ba'ohel. If I'm over here, the mace is over there, we're both under the same roof. So that's oil hamshacha, so the tumah is transmitted by Olam. So the Gemara has a machlekes hatanaim. The Rambam paskins like the opinion of the Tana Reb Shimon. The Meis Nochri is not metami by Olam, only metami by Maga by Masa, not metami by Olam, because the pasuk says also Torah Adam ki Yomis by Olam. So Shimon has a pasuk in Navi Atem Kruim Adam Einu Musalim Kruim Adam. The word Adam only applies to Yisrael. So Tosis quotes Rabbi Natan is bothered with Kashis the Rapsukim, where talks about Adam, and the Gemara says it includes Nachra. So isn't it a contradiction to what Rav Shimon said? So Tosfos distinguishes between what's the word that appears in the Chumash. Is it Adam or is it Ha'adam? If it says Ha'adam, then it applies to Nachra as well. If it says Adam, is not. Why should it be a difference between Adam and Ha'adam? Rav Soloveitchik had this interpretation of the Rabbi Natan, that by the Jewish people we give significance to every person, even. Who was a meis mitzvah? He used to give the moshe. The Kohen Gadol was preparing 7 days before Yom Kippur. And then on Yom Kippur, after preparation, everybody's waiting for him to do the avodah, then he bumps into a meis mitzvah. It's going to be metami to the meis mitzvah. Who is the meis mitzvah? How can it be? He has no relatives. No one knows who he is. No one's going to take care of him. He's probably a bum, a Jewish bum. And he has no one knows who he is. So the Kohen Gadol has to be metami to him. We feel that every human being has tzel malakim, and you have to show kavod abiyus to everyone. But the umas oelam, it's only ha'atam with the hey ha'yadia. If If it's a big professor or a big doctor or somebody important, a big politician, then you give them significance. If it's a plain person, so they won't give any significance. Many years ago, they wrote up this drasha in Hapardes. So someone sent in a letter to the editor. They really meant to attack Rabbi Soloveitchik, but they said, the one who wrote over the drasha must have made a mistake. On Yom Kippur, you don't bury any mason. You're not mitami to the mason mitzvah on Yom Kippur. And on Yom Kippur, how's the whole thing possible? The Kangol is surrounded with all the other Kohanim. It's not going to be. It's not shy. The whole thing is not possible. So they wrote, they meant to say, Rabbi Soloveitchik didn't know what he's talking about. But they wrote, Belosh and Nikia, that the one who wrote over the drasha wrote it incorrectly. So then the next edition of Hapardes, so the editor wrote, it's a Taisus and Nazir. Rabbi Soloveitchik was quoting a Taisus and Nazir. The Achronim ask all the kashis on the Taisus and Nazir. That's Taisus Moshe. Rabbi Soloveitchik often did that. He would say a shir, and he would be quoting something from Taisus or from the Rambam. He wouldn't always identify. He usually would identify. Not every single time. Sometimes he wouldn't identify. So the people thought that he made it up on his own. He would be quoting a Gemara or Yerushalmi. They thought he made it up on his own. This one he didn't make up, he was just quoting the Taisus. So based on this idea of the two psukim contradictory, Rav Soloveitchik based a lot of shiurim on this, that you can have a tarta de sasri and hashkofa. In several of his drushes he used to speak, it's published also in the published drushes, that by many of the galochim in America, the 23rd Psalm is the most popular one. Hashem Roi Lo Yachsa. Why? It describes such a calm style of living, and they would try to sell the Balabatim on religion, that if you'll be religious, you'll lead a very calm life. Religion is very calm. So Rav Soloveitchik said he doesn't think so. He's full of tarta desasris. He's full of steers. Not everyone, but he says there's nothing wrong if a religious person is shaken with a lot of steers. His life is not calm. And he thinks that it's not right that we should sell religion based on this selling pitch that if you observe a religion, then you'll lead a calm life. The Rambam in Hilchos Trumas quotes a Yerushalmi, a passage from the Yerushalmi. There is a din that the peiros that are hefker are not chayv in Trumas and Maisus. So what if there's a field that's hefker and I go and I plant in the field? Hazareh is de hefker. So the Rambam quotes the Yerushalmi that Yechayv and Shumas Amais. So why is that? So Rav Chaim has in his Sefer and Hilchos Malva V'Loivet, he's talking about a totally different topic. He's talking about a din of Bal Chayv Gavis HaShvach. If I lent you, let's say, $200,000, $2 million, let's say, make it, I lend you $2 million, and you have a karka, you have a real estate that's worth $1 million. So in case you don't pay the chayiv, I'll be able to take it away, but I'll only collect half of the debt. Then you go and you sell the field to someone else, and someone else builds a whole hotel on it. Now the karka is worth $2 million. Originally it's only worth $1 million, now it's worth $2 million. But the halvah that I made, I lent you $2 million. So the Gemara says, Balchol gavis hashvach. I have the right to take away the whole karka. So on that Rambam, Rav Chaim has a whole lesson, Hilchos Malva V'Loivet, Perek Chafal, Hilchos Malva V'Loivet. So he quotes this passage from the Talmud Yerushalmi that Hazareas the Hefker is Chayv in Shumas and Maisa. The question is what? So he quotes the Pnei Moshe, the standard commentary on the Yerushalmi, says the reason why you're Chayv in Shumas and Maisa is because when you plant the field, that's called Chazoka, Cheskes Habatim Shalashonim. If I plant in your field for 3 years, that's Cheskes Habatim. So I'm kind of the Karka, Bikinya Chazoka, so it's mine, so the Karka is no longer Hefker. So Rav Chaim says he doesn't accept that Pshat. The word chazaka means a totally different thing. Cheskes habatim shalashanim means if I have a claim, I claim that I bought the karka from you and I didn't save the shtar forever. I was living in the karka for 3 years. So achilas peres, if I plant and eat the peres, that's called cheskes habatim shalashanim. But if you want to sell me a field or I want to be zeich, I'm in a hefker and I'll plant, as a hefker, that's not a kinya chazaka. Chazaka, the Mishnah says you have to have no other apart. He makes a tikkun hakarka, not that he plants. So what's pshat in Yerushalmi? Why does it say in Yerushalmi that the Rambam quotes Yerushalmi that Yechayv in Shumas and Maisus? So Rav Chaim interprets the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is telling me that then the karka remains hefker, but the peres belong to me, and that's the chiddush. The ptur of hefker doesn't depend on the karka; it depends on the peres. Since I was a zareis the hefker, since I was the one who created the shvach, so that's why I'm kind of the shvach. As Rav Chaim, there's a Tosfos in the Anaksubis, has two opinions regarding the din of Hayorda Tosar Shachver Shalom Bishus V'Yishbicha. I go into your field and I build a hotel. And your field is now worth, instead of being worth $1 million, now it's worth $2 million. So the Gemara says, even though there's a din Aroy Ashbach, the karka belongs to you, and the hotel that was built on your karka also belongs to you, but I'm entitled to get something out of it. Even though you didn't ask me to build a hotel, I did it on my own, so I'm entitled to something. So why is that so? So Tosis has two opinions. So in Shulchan Aruch, we pass in one way, and Rav Baruch Beck quotes Rav Chaim, thought we shouldn't pass in the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. He thought we should pass like the other opinion in Tosis, that just like Hazaris, they have the one who creates Shvach, acquires the ownership of the Shvach, so the one who built the hotel is kind of the hotel. The one who owns the field is also kind of the hotel because Aroy Ashbach, so they both are kind of the hotel. So you have to figure out a pshara, who gets what percentage of the hotel. But that was the klal that he got from his gemara. Whoever creates Shvach is kind of that Shvach. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say on the opening Rashi in Chumash, this is also in the published, the collection of published essays, Rashi writes on the first pasuk, Bereishis Bara Elokim, God created the whole world, and therefore the whole world belongs to him. Because whoever creates Shvach requires ownership of the Shvach. So because Ribbono Shel Olam created the whole world, Yesh Meayin, so everything belongs to him. That's what the Rabbi used to explain. On Yom Kippur, we say Vigdoi so many times, Erev Yom Kippur, by Meir, by Shachas, every time, Tefillah Balachash, and Chazoros HaShatz. And then in Nila, we add on, an added Bakasha. After all the Achetz and all the Hashem Nebagat, we add on a Bakasha, L'mal Nechtal Me'oshi Gerden, we should stop stealing. Why, everybody's stealing? That's such a common Avera. Everybody's stealing. A lot of people are cheating on income tax, that's not right, but that's the most important mitzvah to mention. So Rav Soloveitchik said, like in yesterday's parak, it says, Tein l'mishalo, the Mishnah says, when you give charity, when you donate money to tzedakah, Tein l'mishalo, have the attitude that you're giving back to Ribbono Shel Olam the money that belongs to him, Shalto v'shalcho shalo. You, with all of your talents, with all of your chachma, and your ability to earn money, you belong to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So all of your talents belong, your body belongs to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So whenever you use your kishroinus to do an aver, whenever you use your body to do an aver, you're in violation of Gezel. And the reason, in the opening Rashi has this comment on Chumash, that Rabbi Yitzchok says, the Umos HaOlam will complain, listen atem. The Rav, whenever he used to, that we stole Eretz Yisrael, he always used to say, I think I read that yesterday in the New York Times. That the Arabs said in the United Nations, listen atem, said that Rashi is every day. The Umos HaOlam are claiming, listen atem. So our response is supposed to be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the whole world, and because he created, whoever creates Shvach owns the Shvach. And therefore, he had the right to give it to the Umos HaOlam, and then he gave it to us. He took it away from them and gave it to us. So that's our claim to Eretz Yisrael. Based on the opening pasuk, Bereishis Bara Elokim. And so she used to say on other occasions also in connection with this. Parshas Bereishis describes where the Ribbono Shel Olam is so original, creator, and productive, and everything is so his creativity. So he said, we have a mitzvah b'halachta b'drachav to imitate the ways of our HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to preserve the Tzelem Elokim that we have within us. We were all created with Tzelem Elokim. So the pasuk says, b'halachta b'drachav, to preserve that Tzelem Elokim. So part of the mitzvah b'halachta b'drachav, we should also be creative. Creative, a person is good in science. Let him pursue a career in science. A person has musical talents. A person has artistic talents. A person has talent in learning. Whoever has talent in whatever field should pursue that field and develop and be mechadish in that field. That's part of b'halachta b'drachav. When we learned Yeridaya, in Siman Yutes, in Yeridaya, the Shulchan Aruch talks about the Birchas HaShechita, that the Shechit has to recite a bracha before he does the Shechita. So it's a general din by all mitzvahs. You have to recite a bracha before you perform a mitzvah. So the Shach there has a long discussion. There is a dispute between the Rambam and the Orz HaRuach. What if a person, let's say, davens at the early minyan, put on talus and tefillin, it was too early to say the bracha. It was before Mishiyakir is chaver berichut dal ramas. So then he's supposed to say the bracha later, after Yishtabach, and say the bracha after Tachnun, whatever later. he forgot all about it. He already took off the talisman film. Then at the Monsach, he reminds us he forgot to say the bracha. Would it make sense to say the bracha after he already took off the talisman film? If he's still wearing the talisman film, so the bracha is over lasi awesome. The bracha still relates to the continuation of wearing the talisman film. But if he took it off already, so it's lachar asi awesome. So the Rambam's opinion is, the Rambam writes, Mashanasa kvanasa fafal, you already finished doing the mitzvah, it'll be a bracha levato. And your Azaruah Paschal is not so. Azaruah has a raya for the Mishnah, the other Psochem, you can even recite a bracha lachar asi awesome. And it's not exactly clear which way the Rambam Paschal is there in Simen Yud Tes. So the Shach there comes to support the Rambam's opinion. So he says, look in the Gemara in Brachas and Daf Nun Aleph. The Gemara is befamish like the Rambam. The Gemara says, if a person starts to eat a meal, and if you got to say a bracha in advance, so let him say a bracha in the middle of the meal, because he's going to continue to eat after he says the bracha. What if he completed the whole meal? He has nothing more to eat, and now he realizes he forgot to say a bracha in advance. So the Ravina says in the Gemara he should still say a bracha because sometimes we see you can say a bracha after you did a mitzvah. If a ger converts, a non-Jew converts, and he goes into the mikveh, so after he comes out of the mikveh, then he says, Asher kedushanu b'mitzvah, yisavu tzivanu al ha-tfil. So just like you can say a bracha lachar asiyosan by a mitzvah, by the tfilas ager, so too it makes sense to say the bracha after finishing the whole meal. Then the Gemara says, what kind of a comparison is that? By the ger, kach tikno chachamim in the first place. He can't say the bracha before. He's not Jewish. He can't say kedushanu b'mitzvah. So the initial takana was that the ger should decide the bracha after he comes out of the mikveh. But over here by the food, it's not so. So why did the Gemara think that there's a comparison between the two? By eating food, the Gemara tells us, asal adam shihanim in alam azar v'lo bracha. You're not allowed to eat food without saying a bracha in advance. So the bracha is amatir. So it makes sense that you can't have a matir l'mafreya. If you already violated that, you already finished eating the whole meal. You didn't say a bracha frafam. How can you have a matir ex post facto? It's going to be matir what he already ate. The issa. Hashem came by a mitzvah b'chus mitzvah. Why shouldn't you be able to say the bracha lachar asi yosef? So why did Ravina think that there was a tzushlo? How did Ravina think to bring a raya from b'chus mitzvah that it can be recited after the ger was tovel already? That should show that even b'chus hanenah should also be able to be recited lachar gemara achilah. So the Shach says, you see from the Gemara that just like b'chus hanenah is a matir, so too b'chus mitzvah is a matir. That there's a din mid the rabbanon, you're not permitted to perform a mitzvah unless you have a matir. The matir is the recitation of the bracha. That's what the Gemara thought. You see, by the ger, you can have a matir l'mafreya, I can say the bracha after he's tovel. So by the b'chus hanenah also, you can say the bracha lachar asi yosef. And this is the mashmois of the Rambam also. Yosef Engel has this too. The Rambam's lashon is, kishem shetikna, just like the rabbis instituted a birchas hanenin, the asan l'hanis m'rala mazal b'lai bracha, so too they instituted birchas hamitzvah. How is it kishem? What does one have to do with the other? Birchas hamitzvah is not a birchas hanenin. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, that's what Yosef Engel says, it would appear that just like by birchas hanenin, it serves as a matir, also the hanis b'nala mazel b'lai bracha, so too, it's also for a person to perform a mitzvah. The Rabbanan, it's also to perform a mitzvah without a heter. You perform a mitzvah, you want to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do? You go to the White House, you knock on the door, you walk in. You have to have hachanas, you have to have rishus to walk into the White House. You have to have rishus to be able to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we learn Torah, we need a matir. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, V'lo rosh ha'om alakim maluch ha'lusap ha'chukai. Not everybody has the right to learn Torah. If a person doesn't plan to observe the mitzvahs, he doesn't care at all for the mitzvah. He's not permitted to learn the Torah. It's not there. He needs a matir. So Rav Soloveitchik extended this. Not only do you need a matir to observe mitzvahs, you need a matir to daven. He used to say, what's the matir to daven? He used to say, Psukah de Zimra, Ashrei. And he said, Dodoy, Shabbat Masech. This is our tradition for years and years. We had Nevi'im, we had Chachamim, and they always daven. So with the Psukah Zimra, specifically the Pasuk Dodeh Shavach Masech, is the matir. He used to be a rabbi in the Bronx, Rabbi Zion, Zechar Lebrach. So he was born in Brisk, I think, when he was a child. He used to be friendly with Rav Belbel as children. So whenever he would go visit Eretz Yisrael, he would go visit Rav Beryl Soloveitchik. So he would tell him over sometimes the Yortzai Drosha, what Rav Soloveitchik said in the Yortzai Drosha. So they knew that the Yortzai Drosha was 2 hours Allah, 2 hours Akkadus. He was telling him over that the Pesukah Zimra is a matir for tefillah. So he said, Rabbi Soloveitchik said, that must have been the Chelek HaAgada. So he said, no, no, that was the Chelek HaAgada. It sounds like the Chelek HaAgada. But Rabbi Soloveitchik quoted, the Gemara in Yuma has a drush on the pasuk with the Barta Bamba Logat Tfilo. We mentioned before, so it's a question, what does it mean? So Rashi learns with the Barta Bamba Logat Tfilo, Kriya Shema should be Lachatkhila Mashmi Eliyazna. And Tfilo doesn't have to even be Lachatkhila. So the Soloveitchik family didn't follow that. Rashi, they used to daven tefillah balachas, you could hear it. They held you have to mean mashmi al yoznok. Rabbi used to say that there were some shanim hold that you're not yotze even by the eved if you daven balachas, you're not mashmi al yoznok. So he said, he would say, oh, but he gave me yotze drosh on this. He said, the netziv comments on that shiltis, with the bar tabam aloy betfilo, you can learn all you want, but davening, you're not allowed to offer a tefillah unless in the middle of the Shema Nesra. He said, if you have a choyle, you want to say a mishaberach, he thought you're not permitted to say a mishaberach. Only in the middle of Shmona Esrei. You need a matir to offer a tefillah, and the matir is to be in the middle of the tefillah. Remember, in the middle of the outside Russia, they were asking, what do you mean? But we said mishaberach. He said, it's all shaloi kedin. Everything is shaloi kedin. These are some of the, these are some of the situations, circumstances where Rav Soloveitchik would take a clear-cut halacha and show what hashkafe comes from that halacha, and then he would connect it with other halachas, with other ideas on hashkafe. He's Zichro Baruch.